I give you guys a little map here. Oh, I didn't get you guys one. This will just kind of help us timeline-wise to see what prophet was at what time, what kings were they influenced and influencing. So you can kind of see Elijah and Elisha, kind of the first prophets on the scene there. We start getting more prophetic, right? More looking future, more talking future, and a twofold purpose. And Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, that those are the guys that saw Babylon come in, Iraq come in, and take captive Israel, right? Take them captive. Now, when they're preaching, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel was mainly in there in Babylon. Well, these guys are preaching during this time, Habakkuk, it's a twofold ministry, or maybe threefold, really. They're preaching to the people at that time on how they've done evil in God's sight. They need to get back to God on their heart, get back to sacrificing to God the right way. If not, God's going to bring in an outside army to take us out. At the same time that they're teaching, get back morally, get back spiritually. If not, we're going to get wiped out from their country. At the same time, there's going to be a future deliverer. There's going to be a future Jerusalem. That's going to be amazing. Okay? There's kind of three things happening. There at that time with what they're going through and a future destruction. At the same time, a future Israel that's going to be restored and redeemed, where they're going to have a king rule and reign in a perfect environment. There's kind of three things happening at once with these big guys. And when I say big guys, I mean the guys at the time of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Habakkuk, Daniel, on the nation of Israel taken captive and what that meant for them. And then the 70-year promise to get restored. So, and then a future Israel, a future group that's going to be taken care of. So it's kind of a few things happening at once throughout this time. The future Israel hasn't happened yet, has it? The millennial reign, okay, it hasn't happened yet, okay? It's going to happen, and there's a lot of prophecies on that. So if you guys look over this, and as you're reading your prophets, it's good to have a side note on, okay, what king is in office right now? What time period is it? What are they preaching against or for? And then what happens as a result, right? What happens as a result? Some of these guys, they're during a great time, things were well. Other guys, it did not go well, and they saw Israel get taken out. Make sense? All right. Now, for sake of time, I'm just gonna tell you the references. So if you're taking notes, you can write them down or listen to the sermon later. But in Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, it mentions, along with 2 Kings 24. 2 Kings 24, it mentions the first time King Nebuchadnezzar is going through Judah and takes the first group away. King Nebuchadnezzar went to Egypt, he was conquering lands, taking people out. On his way back to Babylon, back to Iraq, that's when he stops in Judah and takes them out around 605 BC, all right? 2 Kings 24 records this, and Nebuchadnezzar goes there, takes him captive. The people that he takes are people that the youth of Jerusalem, people that look good, people that are wise, people that were leaders there in Judah. He takes that first group first, right? And puts them on their diet. That's where Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're with that group. They're with the first group that gets taken captive. And Nebuchadnezzar wants to hear the wisdom of other gods and other things. Nebuchadnezzar doesn't take all the gold and different treasure out of the temple. Okay, he takes some of it out, but not all. He puts someone else in charge to still rule and reign in their stead. Okay, to keep order while being under Babylon's rule. That lasts about 3 months. Okay, I think it's Jehoiakim. He rebels for 3 months. Nebuchadnezzar has an army go back, wipes them out, takes a second group back, okay, to Babylon, and more things out of the temple. This is going to be recorded in 2 Kings 24, 25 in there, about these back and forth things that are happening. Yeah, Jehoiakim, he reigns just for a few months. I think it's like 3 months. He rebels. Nebuchadnezzar comes back, takes over Jerusalem a second time. And it's cool, really, really cool, because Babylon have their own records. They have their own records and dates talking about who was the king, what happened, and what they did as a result. They have their own writings that prove biblical writings. And they line up as if you need more evidence for the Bible. That just seals it even more. Outside writings say the same thing that the Bible prophets say. They say the same thing. So Nebuchadnezzar has guys taking notes also. And about, according to their notes, March 16th, 597 B.C., is when a second time they go back and take those guys out. They take about 10,000 citizens at this time. The second time they come in, they take about 10,000 people back to Babylon. And then Zedekiah, he comes into office to rule and reign in Babylon. So Nebuchadnezzar's over here in Babylon, in Iraq. Jerusalem's here. They still have people there in a structured environment to do what they're supposed to do. A lot of farmers, okay, they leave the poor the second time. Those they didn't kill, as far as the wealthy people, all the poor farmers are pretty much okay. They leave them there to farm and feed Babylon. Okay, all the farmers are left alone. They keep some people there to rule over them. They even leave a Jewish leader. That guy, he rebels also, Zedekiah. And again, they come back and wipe it out. And some of the leaders bail out in 2 Kings chapter 25. And they go to Jericho, and they kill them there in Jericho in 2 Kings 25. Zedekiah, he's killed pretty brutally. He's forced to watch them kill his son. Then they burn his eyes out. So that's the last thing that he sees for rebelling against Babylon. And again, just like Jeremiah, he had prophesied to Zedekiah that he would actually speak to Nebuchadnezzar mouth to mouth, and that he would see him eye to eye. And then he also told Zedekiah that he would not see Babylon. So his eyes are burned out. So the things that Jeremiah had prophesied against Zedekiah, saying, hey man, if you don't turn back to the Lord, these things are going to happen. So God has always had a prophet telling these kings, you need to change, you need to change. Israel possessing the land is an unconditional promise. What it's like while they're there is conditional, right? What it's like while they're there is conditional. In the covenant in Deuteronomy, they had to serve the Lord, right? They had to recognize him as their God. If they didn't, God said in Deuteronomy, okay, I'm going to bring another nation in to rule over you. But when you cry out to me, I'll deliver you. And so God is keeping true to that promise. God does not want his people to be ruled over by other kings. He doesn't want them to commit idolatry and do wicked stuff. But he allows them that choice, and he does, you know, over time, bring in other nations to rule over them. Any other thoughts before I move on? All right. Now what happens moving forward is the Persians, they take over Babylon. They wipe them out. And it's the Persian king Cyrus who allows Israel to go back. Okay, he allows Israel to go back and restore their temple and serve their God. And we see that in Ezra chapter 1. Okay, Ezra chapter 1. Now, again, this is an Old Testament survey. Okay, so not everything's, I'm not going to go over everything, but the Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you guys can read that if you want. And those writings are from them there in Babylon. So King Cyrus of Persia conquers Babylon. He comes in, he tells the Jews they can go back and rebuild their temple. In Ezra chapter 1, verses 1-6, Cyrus even returns the gold that was taken out of the temple. So all the treasures that they, Nebuchadnezzar had taken, Cyrus says, you can have it back and go, back to your kingdom and restore it. That first group, a small remnant, that's with Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel takes the first group back, and it's about 49,897 people. Rounding up, about 50,000 Jews go back to Judah in 536 B.C. 536 B.C., about 50,000 Jews go back. Those folks start rebuilding the altar in Jerusalem. They start to rebuild the temple, and the efforts are kind of short-lived. They stop and kind of fizzle out. And about for 15 years, that temple project is just kind of desolate, right? So they've been back for 15 years. The altar is rebuilt, but the temple is started. But for 15 years, it kind of just stays there. And they start sliding back into some more bad stuff. All right, they start marrying outside of the nation of Israel, and that makes some people upset. So Ezra comes down and helps set a foundation for the temple, starts to get them back going, and they get things going again for the nation of Israel. When Ezra comes with the second group, he brings about 1,500 people. Okay, about 1,500 people he brings with him to go there. In about 558 B.C., he starts helping them rebuild it. And again, he shows that because you guys are marrying other women and men from other nations, God's going to come back and do it to us again. The people said, no, we don't want that. So they divorce their people that they married against other nations. They get rid of them. Let's see. Nehemiah comes down, starts to help get the Levites in order. Now we're in Ezra and Nehemiah. So they get taken captive. God's told them after 70 years they'll come back. They come back in three different groups. And again, over 15 years, there in the book of Ezra, there's a 15-year gap. Where they started out strong and then fizzled out. And then Nehemiah comes out and helps them get going. Ezra helps them get going after Zerubbabel tries, and they start getting things back on track. They start having, if you guys remember, some people from the outskirts, the Gentiles mocking them, saying, oh, your God's not real, or this, that, and the other thing. They start putting them down, trying to discourage them. And they build the walls up in 53 days. 53 days. They don't. Sanballat and Tobias, I think is their names. Try to discourage them. They don't listen. And they do fine. That's where we're at now in our Old Testament survey. Any questions? That's about as fast and there's a lot of ground I can cover. Barry, will you pray for us?
Sure. Lord, thanks for bringing us all together to study your word. I ask you to help us stay focused despite all the surrounding divisiveness. Help us to show compassion to those that do not understand or do not follow your word. Help us to see both sides of the story. Thank you for your son, Jesus, and his word and his contribution, major contribution. And we say all these things in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.